Have you ever made a mistake? Man, I made one this morning. I got up, and that was a mistake. Men's breakfast, I forgot it. Saturday morning, okay? Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. You men be here. And there was something else I forgot. Oh, deacon's meeting at 5 o'clock, all right? So y'all remember those things. Turn, if you will, Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 22. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitude were amazed and said, "Could this be the son of David?" Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and gave himself on the cross of Calvary that we might have eternal life. Heavenly Father, open up this passage of Scripture to our hearts today. And Lord, at the point of need of each person today, we ask that your Holy Spirit just touch our hearts. And God, we give you all praise and glory, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Jesus has just cured a demon-possessed man. This man was very possessed by the devil. And yet Jesus cast the demons out. And the Bible says, some said, this must be the Messiah or the Son of David. But the Pharisees, they did not want to believe that. So they said, no, this man cast out demons by the devil himself, Beelzebub. They were not ready to ascribe to Jesus Christ his power as God. And they sought to explain his miracles away and said, it's not of God, but of the devil that this man does these things. And Jesus begins to teach them and reason with them. And he says, a kingdom divided cannot stand. It just won't do it. If Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself, and his kingdom will not stand. If Satan fought against himself, he says simply he would self-destruct. So he says, reason with me, logic says that I didn't cast him out by the devil. And they couldn't answer that. The question was unanswerable to these Pharisees. They would not answer. So he changes his reasoning as a warning concerning the unpardonable sin. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, the unpardonable sin. What is it? How do you commit it? Have you committed it? I pray and hope not. But what is the sin that Jesus Christ is teaching them or talking to them about here? People ask me all the time. They're interested in different things, but when it comes to sin, people say, "Preacher, you reckon I can be saved? You know, I've been bad all my life. I've done this, I've done that." Well, you can be saved. Some people say, "Well, I've committed," had one guy said, "Preacher, I've committed a murder. Can I be saved?" I said, "Yes, no doubt about it. Moses committed a murder. He was saved. David committed a murder or had one murdered. He was saved. What about, preacher, what about if I've committed adultery?" And I say, "Well, yeah, you can still be saved. You know, David committed adultery, and look what God used him." Well, what if I deny the Lord? If, you know, it's been said now we're being persecuted as Christians, and someone shot a young girl, and they asked her if she was a Christian, and she said yes, and he shot her. And what if she had just said no? Could she know Jesus Christ? Could she be saved if she denied Christ? I said yes, because Peter denied Christ. Not only once, but three times. Well, then what is the unpardonable sin? Some people say, "Well, you know, I think it's suicide, because you can't," had a lady tell me something, "you can't repent of suicide. Once you're dead, you can't ask God to forgive you from that." Well, no, that's not the unpardonable sin. What is the unpardonable sin? It's clearly, the Bible teaches here, a sin against the Holy Spirit. Now, in the New Testament, it was rejecting Jesus Christ. And in the church age, it is a rejecting of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something here. You came in the doors this morning. I don't know if you're saved or lost, but God does. And the Holy Spirit right now, I believe with all my heart, shows you or convicts you that you're lost or saved. Now, I don't know, but you know, and God knows. And I believe through the preaching of the Word of God, that's what the Holy Spirit does. It touches you at the point of your need and shows you in your life what's wrong with your life. Maybe you've committed adultery and you're living in an adulterous relationship, and yes, you feel guilty about that and you want to get it right. Well, let me tell you something. When the invitation time comes, you can come to the altar and kneel and say, "God, you know, I've committed an adulterous relationship, and I want to confess that before you." You confess it. God says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. I believe with all my heart God will forgive you. Don't go back to it. Repent of it. Turn and go the other way. You just can't keep on doing the same old things, you see. When you really repent or really feel sorry, you turn from that, okay? Now, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Maybe the Holy Spirit is convicting you about something else. You're a chronic liar. You lie every time you read a lie than anything else. And you know that. And maybe you're a cheat. Whatever. The Holy Spirit is convicting you. You need to get that right. If you're saved, you're not going to live a real productive life if you're living in sin, so you need to get that sin right. If you're lost, the Holy Spirit is telling you that you're lost. You don't know Jesus Christ personally. You've heard of Him. You believe in Him. A lot of people believe in Him. The devil, the Bible says, even believes. But if you're lost, He's telling you, you need to get saved. You know, when I was, it's been too long to remember now, 1975, May 5th, 1975, I was in Eastside Baptist Church, and I knew I'd been baptized. I was, when I was about 8 years old, And I grew up in church. I worked in church. I was Sunday school superintendent. At that time, I was leader of the RAs or GAs, and my wife was with the GAs, and I was with the RAs, and we were doing all kinds of things. But the Lord convicted me, or the Holy Spirit was telling me, as the preacher preached, you have never made a personal profession of faith in Jesus Christ. You're lost. And I knew that. But, you know, I didn't want to go down in front of the people because I had been living a lie some 15 years. And when you're living a lie some 15 years, it's hard to tell everybody, hey, I've been living a lie. You think one way I'm in, the Lord sees me as lost. And I sit there in that pew, and maybe that's you today. You know where I'm going. You're sitting there in that pew, and you say, preacher, you're reading my book. This is my life you're talking about. I've gone to church all these years, and I've done all this thing, but inside I know that I've never really given myself over to Jesus Christ. I've done it, like we said in our Sunday school this morning, my way. And your way won't get you to heaven, folks. And you know that in your heart, and you're sitting there, and you're thinking, man, I need to make a decision for Christ, but if I do, everybody's going to know that I've been a phony all these years. Let me ask you a question. When I sit there that day, that's what I felt in my heart. The preacher, man, me and the preacher was best friends. It was like the Holy Spirit, God was telling me, Booney, if you don't do this now, you will never have another opportunity. And when I thought that, when I reached that point, I was just about to the point of saying, no, God, I don't want to do that. I was on the edge, I would say, of never being convicted again by the Holy Spirit, making my choice to live without Christ, lying my way through the world. But when the invitation time was coming, it was just like God says, move now or never. And boy, let me tell you something. I let go of that pew and I walked to the preacher. He says, Booney, what you here for? You want to rededicate your life? I said, man, I don't want to rededicate my life. I want to get saved. You know what? Not a person in there thought ugly of me. They praised God with me. Seemed like everybody knew it but me. But you can reject God's calling upon your life. You can reject it. You can reject it. You can say no to God, no to God, no to God, no to God. I don't want you to come into my life. And let me tell you something. It's a fine line when God says, okay, if you don't want what I've got to offer you, I won't bother you anymore. And oh, that's a sad way of living. It is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. The word blaspheme means to slander or to insult. And at the beginning of this experience, we're told that Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. The unpardonable sin is not just an utterance of the lips, it's an attitude of the heart. Jesus knows your heart. He knows your attitude today. And ultimately, when you reject Christ, it's from the mind or the heart that all sin comes, the Bible says. And from the mind, the lust of adultery comes. From the mind, the hate of murder comes. And from the mind, the covetousness of other people's dishonest gain and things come to your mind. That's from the heart. And God knows the heart. And I believe the unpardonable sin is that deliberate, willful, repeated rejection of the witness of God upon your life that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Folks, and if you do that so often, that heart becomes so hardened and calloused that the words of God don't speak to you anymore. You see? And you don't feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit anymore. And that's what happened here, and that's what Jesus is warning to these scribes and Pharisees. They have rejected him. They have rejected him, and they have rejected him until they have committed that unpardonable sin. You see, do people commit the unpardonable sin today? I think they do. They reject the truth. They reject God's will in their life. The whole concept is fighting here a warning that we do not say no to God too loud or too long, or we commit that sin. You see, let me go ahead and explain it. It's a sin against the light. It's a sin against the logic of man's mind. It's a sin against the love of God. Now let me explain these. The against the light of God. The unpardonable sin is not a sin we commit accidentally. You commit, people say, well, I didn't really mean to do that. Well, the unpardonable sin is not a sin that you commit accidentally or in just a moment. It is a deliberate, willful, repeated act on your behalf. It is a sin that man commits slowly and steadily. He knows what he should do. He knows that he has been convicted of sin in his life. Yet he does not let Christ speak to his heart. He continues to reject Jesus Christ in his life. The Pharisees, they think about this. They followed Jesus Christ everywhere he went. They saw the miracles. They saw the teachings and heard the teachings. And every time they rejected Christ. Every time they stood opposed to him. He turned the water into the wine. He multiplied the fish and fed the many with the bread. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And still they said in their heart, this is not the Son of God. They wouldn't have it. How many times have you been in a church and the preacher has spoken and your heart is convicted, and the Holy Spirit is telling you, you're lost, you're lost. And you, when the invitation time is given, you say, I'm not going down there. I'm not going to give my life to Christ. In the Old Testament, I believe we have a wonderful example of this when unpardonable sin was committed. You remember Pharaoh, when Moses went to him and said, Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. Pharaoh laughed at him. He said, I don't know your God. My God doesn't say that to me. Boy, it made God mad. He sent plagues upon Egypt. Boy, Pharaoh was covered with frogs. He was covered with lice. Hailstorms, darkness, blood in the water. He began to say, well, you know something's wrong. He says, Moses, you tell your God, if he'll stop these plagues, I'll let the people go. God stopped the plagues. Moses went to Pharaoh, said, Pharaoh, God says, now let my people go. He said, I ain't gonna let your people go. I'm not scared of your God. So God destroyed the firstborn in Egypt. Pharaoh lost his son. He hardened his heart against God in such a way that God stopped it altogether. Just said, okay, I've had enough of this guy. Folks, that is a dangerous ground to be on. In the New Testament, there's a great example that this happens. Folks, when we don't give our life to God and let Him live in our life, we cross that line. And the Holy Spirit no longer convicts us in the church when we're confronted with God's loving invitation to come to Him. You know what? God so loved you that He sent His Son to die for you. If you'd been the only person here on the earth, He would have given His Son to die for you that you could have eternal life. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God loves you. He wants the best for you. And yet we still reject Him and say, no, no, no. And when you reject Him in the light of the truth of the Word of God, you commit that unpardonable sin. It's against logic. Notice He says here, the calm, clear reasoning. First He says, you cannot stand. A nation divided against itself cannot stand. And then He goes on down to a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And then He says a city divided against itself cannot stand. And then finally a house divided against itself cannot stand. In either case, it's going to self-destruct. In essence, He's saying, Jesus, fellas, you're smarter than that. You know that the devil would not fight against himself. The logic is irrefutable, but still they will not believe. In the Old Testament, Isaiah said, come, let us reason together. You see, logic and reason are always at the heart of faith, folks. Satan is the author of sin. Amen? He's the author of sin. We know that. He likes confusion in our life. Is it not reasonable, therefore, that He would convict you of sin? You think He's going to convict you of sin in your life if He is the author of sin? That don't make sense, does it? It don't make sense that He'd do that. So, if you're convicted of sin, who is it from? God. God. The Holy Spirit is here convicting us of sin. Now, let me ask you something. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, is it not logical that He would warn you, the devil would warn you not to go there? He's not going to be warning you not to go to hell. He wants to drag you into that place. He don't want to be there. He wants to take you with Him. If you're being warned of a place called hell, it is a warning from God through the Holy Spirit. And the cross on which Jesus Christ died, what did that mean? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, what did that mean? It simply means that the devil was defeated. You see, he was defeated that day. He thought he had nailed the Savior to the cross and Jesus Christ was defeated. But it didn't defeat God. Matter of fact, He won the victory over the devil and the grave and all of that. Now, would the devil be warning you of the cross? No. Jesus Christ is the one who is wooing you and warning you and wants you to come to Him. Any conviction of sin, any warning of hell, any drawing to the cross of Calvary must be the power of God through the Holy Spirit. That's logical. It is God, He says. who wants to put that in your life, who wants you to come to Him. Someone says, He puts the want to and the ought to in your life. He wants you to come today. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to come to Him today. That's God. The unpardonable sin is a spiritual blindness. You recognize the voice of God, but you will not respond to it. Now think about that. You don't want to do that. You want to respond to the call of God in your life. After I was saved, man, I felt so good about that decision. It wasn't near like the old devil made it sound. He just was on both shoulders knocking on my heart's door and saying, you don't want to give your life to Christ. You know, you don't want to do that. Everybody's going to know you're phoning this and that and that and that. Oh, man, you'll be the laughingstock of the church. You know what? To make it even more humorous, God's got a sense of humor. He called me to preach after that. I thought, Lord have mercy. Amen. Praise God. You know, and guess what? I wanted to tell people about Jesus Christ. I wanted to tell people about how He changed my life. And folks, that's what God does. He changes our life. And not only that, the unpardonable sin is a sin against God. It's against His love, God's love. It was the love of God that sent Jesus Christ to the cross. It was the love of God that He healed this demonic man. And it's the love of God that even He warns those Pharisees of the unpardonable sin. He did that to warn them. Said, listen, guys, you're going down the wrong road here. If you keep going like this, you'll be lost forever. If a person's lost, it is against the wishes of our Lord and Savior. For the Bible says He wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. If you're here today and you're sitting there and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know that, and you refuse to come, it's not God who sends you to hell. It's your rejection of God that sent you to hell. And let me tell you something. It could be. This is your last warning. It could be. You may go out from here today thinking, well, I've got plenty of time. Let me tell you something. I bury people all time that are younger than I am. And are younger than you. They thought they had plenty of time. I just buried my nephew a few months back. He was only 34 years old. Had life going for him. Healthy and everything else. Had a car wreck. And he died instantly. Not only that, he died with his 8-year-old boy. Was God cruel? No. God knows what He's doing. Both of them happened to be saved. They had trusted Christ. You say, bad things happen to saved people? Yes, they do. But it really wasn't bad because now they're walking in heaven. They don't have to put up with what we're putting up with now. Man, we're the ones who ought to be weeping and crying for ourselves. Folks, let me tell you something. Right now, if you're feeling that you need to get saved, you better listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when the invitation time comes, you better come. Because you're not guaranteed you'll be back here ever again. Or you're not guaranteed you'll ever get another chance. The tragedy of sin is that you break the heart of God because He wants you to be saved. He wants you to come today and give Him your life. Let it turn you around. Let me tell you something. If you're not serious with God, you don't mean to turn your life around, then you won't be saved when you come down here. You just went through a motion. Man, God changes people. God is far more gracious than we ever think. You know what? I like Matthew. Brother Bill's been teaching the kids out of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, right in the front, you know, it gives the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You know, some of y'all like genealogies. Find out where you come from and who's your father and who's your mother and where they come from. Well, instead, I'm not going to read that. I done looked them up here. In the Matthew genealogy, there's 42 generations listed there. 42. Four of these are women. I ain't got a thing against women. One for mother, I wouldn't be here. But let's see, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. The remarkable thing is that their names are even listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You see, women didn't count for much in those days. It was a man's world. Second, all four of these are Gentiles. Isn't that funny? Third is the fact that three of the four of these were harlots. You know that what that is? Are an adulteress. Three of the four. And let me tell you something. God is gracious. Amen. No one is excluded from God. All who will come, he will in no wise cast out. Man, let me tell you something. He used these four women in a great way. No race is excluded. We're not the only race that's going to be in heaven. You know, no sinner is excluded. God wants them to come this morning. He wants you to come. That is the love of God in his word. Anyone who is lost against the wishes of God. He wants you to come this morning. But if you decide not to, the unpardonable sin is the sin against the love of God. You say no. Someone once said, and I don't know exactly, but there's a line and a time we do not know and a line that we do not know where when we cross. When the Holy Spirit works on our heart and we say no, it's kind of like those calluses build up on your hand and on your heart. You say no to God, you say no to God, you say no to God until you don't even hear him speak anymore. He lets you go. In Romans, the Bible says he gave them over to their reprobate minds. Folks, God is patient with us. God pleads with us. And God loves us. And we ought to be begging God to save us right now. But instead, it's God that does the begging. He says, come. Come to me, ye who are thirsty. Come to me. And the ultimate sin is pride. We want God to leave us alone and let us live life our way. And let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit may have been making his last appeal to you today. So if he's convicted you that you're lost, he's convicted you of sin in your life, make your way to the front and say, listen, preacher, I want to be saved. I know I'm lost. I want Jesus Christ to come into my life and change my heart. You know what he'd do? He will. He will. And he'll wash your slate white as snow. And he's made a place for you. Oh, Lord, make us aware of sin. And make yourself known to us today that we might respond to your call. Maybe you're here today and you're already a Christian. And like I said, you've got things in your life that are not pleasing to God. I want you to come and just kneel at the altar and say, Lord, I want you to cleanse my heart so that I can be the witness that you want me to be, that I can be the person you want me to be. You know, maybe you've lied and deceived, and man, you know, we do that sometimes, don't we? Get it right. You're not going to be blessed till you do. And maybe you're looking for a church home, and this is the place God's led you. It's not a perfect church. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not a perfect preacher. I done told you I made a mistake. I mess up and I sin sometimes. But let me tell you something. When I do, I confess it before God. And I get my life right before God. I don't want to step into this pulpit with sin in my life. Would you come? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there's decisions that need to be made here today. Lord, they heard the word, and the devil is, he's really hot on the trail of some people. And Lord, we don't know if this is the last invitation that you'll give them. Only you know that. But Lord, if they feel that conviction, if they feel that need of making a decision, Lord, may they make that right now. And we'll give you glory and praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.